Morning. Well, it's a blessing to be here with you this morning, and it's already been a blessing, hasn't it, to partake of the Lord's Supper together, to sing to our Lord together, and just be together as His body and His followers. I want to welcome you this morning if you're visiting with us. You're our honored guest, and we hope at some point you'll choose to make this your church home and your church family. I've been blessed by this church family for well over 20 years or so, and so I know you'll be blessed too if you decide to make this your church home. So thankful that, as others have mentioned, that Christmas is next Saturday, and this lesson is tied in with Christmas, by the way, if you want to be, or with the birth of Jesus, I should say. If you want to be turning in your Bibles, even now to Matthew chapter 1. Invite you to do that. Matthew chapter 1, starting in verse 18. While you're turning over there, it's already been mentioned this morning, but, you know, looking back to 2019, like roughly 2 years ago, I'm thankful, too, to this congregation, especially thankful to the elders and their leadership and shepherding us through a very, very difficult time, as well as all the members who have stayed faithful to our Lord and faithful to the congregation here over these last couple years. And just, you know, briefly on a personal note, I could honestly say I wouldn't be here trying to deliver a sermon or a lesson this morning if it weren't for God Himself, of course, and His strength, but also the strength I gain from this congregation in a difficult time we've gone through with our son. So thank you all for those prayers and for that strength this morning. And as we know, or as maybe you don't know, I don't know, it is the Christmas season, and Christmas, as was already mentioned, is celebrated around the world. The fact is, no one knows the exact day Jesus was born into this world. That's already kind of been mentioned this morning. As Christians, we're not directed or commanded to celebrate the birth of Christ on December 25th. As a Christian and as a preacher, though, I'm thankful that there's some kind of focus on the birth of Christ. And the years I've been a Christian and been preaching, I try to use that to my advantage and really to God and Christ's advantage, where some may be focusing on the birth of Christ and all that could mean to them personally during this time of year. And I know throughout the years with this congregation and others, there are some who are already Christians and they, you know, are able to get relatives or friends or neighbors to come to church and hear a gospel sermon where otherwise they may not ever step foot into a church building, right? And if they're not willing to come to church, we can use this time of year, as again was already mentioned this morning, to focus on Christ and maybe sow a little seed, right? And I just believe the good Lord can use it, although it's not a biblical command for us. It is encouraging, inspiring, I believe, and faith-building to remember and appreciate the prophecies fulfilled during the events of the birth of Christ into this world. The birth of Christ, His earthly ministry, His sacrifice on the cross, His burial, and His powerful and victorious resurrection are all foretold way back in Genesis after the fall in the garden. So I'm going to start there, and then we'll jump over to Matthew chapter 1. Genesis 3 and verse 13. Remember, after Adam and Eve partook of the forbidden fruit in the garden, and I like to say this is where God is dishing out the discipline and the consequences for their disobedience. Then the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." So the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, cursed are you above all the livestock and all the wild animals. You will crawl on your belly and you will eat dust all the days of your life. And I will put enmity between you and the woman and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head and you will strike his heel." I don't know about you, but that sends chills down my spine this morning. That Jesus, way back here, shortly after creation, foretells of a time and a day when Christ will be born into this world, fulfill His earthly ministry, be crucified and buried, and then raised, as we know took place, and is now at the right hand of the Father in heaven. Amen? Didn't things play out just as God planned them? God's plans can never be thwarted, right? He, Jesus, will crush your head, Satan. In battle, a head-crushing blow is a death blow. You're no longer a part of the battle, right? If you suffered a death blow, a crushing blow, you, he says, Satan will strike his heel in battle. That's a glancing blow, which still allows the soldier to live on and to fight on. And we know that's all the blow that Satan could deliver to Jesus, right? His heel was struck, but he was raised from the dead, thank God. And that's why we're here today, to worship him and appreciate all that he's done for us and all the blessings that we find and we appreciate in Christ. Now turning back over to Matthew chapter 1 and verse 18 and the focus of the lesson this morning. And you may recognize the first part of the lesson ties in with last year, if you have a really good memory. I didn't remember myself, but then you'll see the focus will kind of change and we'll shine a light on some other facts and some encouraging things for us, I hope, this morning. So reading again in verse 18, this is how the birth of Jesus came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. And then in verse 22, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet. The virgin will be with child and give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son. So again, before Mary and Joseph came together or consummated their marriage, Mary was betrothed to Joseph. And the New American Standard explains or says, Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, the NIV version. In other words, they were engaged. The NIV study Bible explains that there was no sexual relations during the Jewish betrothal period, but it was a much more binding relationship, legally binding, than a modern engagement, and could be broken only by divorce. That's why we find Matthew using the terms husband in verse 19 and wife in verse 24. And this is some of the ground we covered last year, but never hurts to be reminded, right? Verse 19, Joseph was a righteous man. To the Jews, this meant that he was zealous in keeping the law. He was a man who wanted to do what was right in God's eyes. In other words, Joseph would sign the necessary legal papers, but not have Mary judged publicly, as we read about in Deuteronomy 22, verses 22 and 23. And that's why we read in verse 19, not wanting to expose her to public disgrace. With all that being said, as men, let's put ourselves in Joseph's place, right? He didn't fully understand until it was revealed to him what exactly was going on. He trusted Mary. He was betrothed to Mary, engaged to Mary, and now suddenly she's with child. I mean, without an explanation from God himself, how could Joseph know or understand what had happened or what was going to take place then and in the future, right? Jesus was conceived by the Holy Spirit in verse 20. The angel of the Lord reveals to Joseph in a dream, saying, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. So even the conception of Jesus, along with the birth of Jesus, was a miracle. It only took place by the power and providence of God himself. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. Jesus is the Greek form of the name Joshua, meaning the Lord saves or the Lord gives victory. And hasn't the Lord given us to each one of us Christians today? I remember being baptized, and at least one of the songs they sang after being baptized down there in Mobile, Alabama, was Victory in Jesus, right? Victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He bought me, and he sought me and bought me with his redeeming blood. I won't subject you to singing the whole song. But you know the song, Victory in Jesus. Now at times after becoming a Christian and we start to experience, or I'll speak for myself, I start to experience the peaks and the valleys of the Christian walk and the Christian journey. I haven't felt so victorious at times. How about you? But the feelings weren't based on fact. How about it? My feelings just weren't based on the fact that I had repented of my sins, put my faith in Christ, been baptized into Christ, named him as my Lord, and all my sins were forgiven. And after that, and trying to walk in the light as he is in the light and trusting in his blood for continual cleansing of sin, I actually still was victorious. I just didn't feel victorious at the time. How about you? Hopefully, some of you are nodding. Some of you are with me. The fact is, we're victorious in Christ as Christians because he gained the great victory over Satan, sin, and death on the cross and through his powerful resurrection. His very name, when you think about it, defines his mission, both then and even now, roughly 2,000 years later, to seek and to save that which was lost. And that includes us, doesn't it? We were lost as Christians, but now we've been found. We were lost and found, and now we want others who are lost to be found, right? And share with us during this life the great blessings that are found only in Christ. And also share with us the eternal life that's promised to us by the grace and mercy of God himself. John 3:16, a familiar passage, and even if you watch some football games today, you may see John 3:16 held up on a sign behind the goalposts at times, right? But we're going to read this morning John 3:16 through verse 18. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. Most who aren't even Christians know John 3:16, but to read on in verse 17, for God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Amen. As I love Gary emphasized last week, we can never emphasize this enough. It's the good news of the gospel. In verse 18, whoever believes in him is not condemned. But whoever does not believe stands condemned already because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. It all starts with belief, doesn't it? And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. The fulfillment of prophecy is mentioned here in the text this morning. Matthew 1 and verse 22. Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. And that's referring to the prophet Isaiah in Isaiah chapter 7 and verse 14. But we find it in verse 23 of Matthew chapter 1, okay? Matthew 1, verse 23, referring to Isaiah 7, verse 14. Behold, the virgin shall be with child and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. God with us. Could you imagine? I hate to even imagine if Jesus had not come into this world at all. We'd know nothing about God, would we? God with us. When we look to Jesus, we look at his teaching and his life, we see clearly who God is, his very nature, his character, his love for mankind, his love for us. God with us. Remember Jesus comforting his disciples? John 14 and verses 1 through 9. John 14, 1 through 9. Jesus said, because his disciples, his followers' hearts were troubled at this time, do not let your hearts be troubled. Trust in God. Trust also in me. Great encouraging words for us when our hearts are troubled, right? And our faith is weak. In my Father's house are many rooms. If it were not so, I would have told you. I am going there to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back and take you to be with me, so that you also may be where I am. You know the way to the place where I am going." Those are comforting and encouraging words for us this morning, that one day we're going to be where He is. And not much about heaven is revealed to us, and we do have songs about heaven, but as long as we're there with Him, those are really the comforting and encouraging and inspiring words we need to hear. That's the hope that we have, isn't it, of spending eternity with God and with Christ Himself in heaven. Thomas said to Him, "Lord, we don't know where You are going, so how can we know the way?" And, you know, you put yourself in Thomas' shoes. We could be critical maybe at first, but we have hindsight, don't we? We know the whole story looking back. Hindsight is 20/20, right? Thomas didn't know what was about to take place. Jesus answered, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. If you really knew me, you would know my Father as well. From now on, you do know him and have seen him." Isn't that true for us as well? Isn't that true for anyone who's willing to pick up their Bible and read about Jesus, his life, and his teachings, that you can see God, you can know God by coming to know Christ, as we're doing in Bible class, by the way, through Tommy's great class that we're going through, focusing on Christ, his life, his teachings. Anyone who's able to get a hold of a Bible can know God's very nature and character by reading about Christ and looking to his example, his teaching. Then Philip in verse 8 said, "Lord, show us the Father and that will be enough for us." And someone mentioned either in Bible class or already this morning the patience that Jesus had with the disciples. That was Tommy in Bible class. And he was patient with their questions, wasn't he? And always answered their questions. At times he would take them aside and be patiently answer their questions and their concerns. Thank God he did, because it's recorded for us, for our encouragement, 2,000 years later. Jesus answered, "Don't you know me, Philip, even after I have been among you such a long time?" So perhaps he is a bit frustrated or even surprised. But yet he patiently answers his question. "Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? You've already seen the Father in spending time with me and seeing me in the way I relate to people, Philip." What a powerful, loving, merciful, forgiving, compassionate, long-suffering, patient, and probably some other descriptive words I'm not mentioning this morning, God and Father we have as we see Him revealed in the life and the teachings of Jesus. How about it? Thank God, if Jesus had not come into the world, we'd have no idea what God is like, would we? Jesus gave the blind their sight. He made the deaf to hear. He healed the sick and the afflicted. He raised the dead. He walked on water. He calmed the sea. He washed the disciples' feet. He taught us, and He still teaches us about our loving, forgiving Father in heaven through His teachings and in part through His parables, like the prodigal son, the good shepherd, leaving the 99 to go after the one, the good shepherd laying down his life for the sheep. This morning, I challenge you and I challenge us as we go in, as we're already in this Christmas season, to remember that Jesus was born in this world by the power of God and by the power of the Holy Spirit, as we were reminded of this morning, according to his plan that we read about and are reminded of back in Genesis chapter 3, at the beginning of the world, the beginning of creation. Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. Jesus, Emmanuel, is God with us, and he's still with us today. And until he returns, or we go on to be with him. This morning, if you're not a Christian, you have the opportunity to experience the saving power of Jesus. As you have the opportunity to believe this morning that he is who he claimed to be, the very Son of God. Come believing that Jesus is the Son of God, believing he was crucified on a cruel cross, taking upon himself your sin and my sin, and actually the sin of the whole world. Romans 10 and verse 17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ. We as Christians try to set an example for the world. We try to live up to being the light of the world as Christ has called us to be. But faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, not even by the good example of another Christian. It can help toward that end. You can repent. To repent is to really make a 180-degree turn, literally, when you go back to the original language, from living and walking your way with no regard for the will of God to living and walking through this short life according to God's will and His way. You know, repentance is a gift from God. Peter makes it clear that God is patient, not wanting anyone to perish, but all to come to repentance. From all I read in the Bible, that I think that's the biggest reason God allows this world and this universe to keep on turning and allows us to keep on living, that more people might repent, come to faith in Christ, understand and appreciate His love, and spend eternity with Him. Paul preached in Acts 17, verse 30 and 31, therefore, having overlooked the times of ignorance, God is now declaring to men that all people everywhere should repent. It's a blessing to be able to repent, turn away from evil, turn away from sin, and then with God's help and through the power of His word, live a fruitful life with the good fruits, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, with hope and joy and peace in our lives, as we look forward to spending eternity with Him. Paul goes on to say in verse 31, because He has fixed a day in which He will judge the world in righteousness through a man whom He has appointed, having furnished proof to all men by raising Him from the dead. And we know that man he's referring to, the God-man, Jesus, who is raised from the dead and now is at the right hand of the Father in heaven. You can come confessing Jesus as Lord. Romans 10 and verses 9 and 10, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, you will be saved. Verse 10, for it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. As the scripture says, anyone who trusts in Him will never be put to shame. And that includes us as Christians this morning. As we trust in Him, we will never be put to shame. You can be baptized or immersed into Christ, then being raised to walk in newness of life. Jesus Himself said, go into all the world and preach the good news to all creation. Number one, that's our mission and Christ's mission. Whoever believes and is baptized will be saved, but whoever does not believe will be condemned. So today is the day. Yesterday's gone. Tomorrow isn't promised. All those gifts you may have bought for Christmas coming up next Saturday may all be for naught if Christ comes back today or before next Saturday, right? No one knows the day or the hour except the Father in heaven. So today is the day. Yesterday is gone. Tomorrow isn't promised. To name Jesus as your Lord. Claim Him as your Lord and claim all the blessings that are only found in Christ. If you have a need this morning, perhaps you're already a Christian, but you have some need for prayer and encouragement, and whatever your need is, we invite you to come forward and let that need be made known. You don't have to bear your burden on your own. Allow other Christians to encourage you, help you, pray for you, as we trust in God Himself to meet your need. Please come as we're going to stand and sing this invitation song.